You guys motivate me daily to be the best I can be. I thank all of you for coming out supporting myself and the future of boxing.
That's boxer Luke Jackson, who famously goes about his life with the motto, tough times don't last, tough people do. And he's a walking testament. Hey, I'm Rosie Panetta, and this week he joins me for I Hate to Whinge, alongside his mate, fellow athlete and filmmaker Darren Petty, who recently spent more than 4 months in his shadow, literally capturing his story on film. It's a sometimes complicated journey, overall inspiring, and as you'll discover, sport saved both of these guys from some pretty grim realities. Boxing helping Luke overcome a life dominated by drugs as a teen in the outer suburbs of Hobart. Bodybuilding helping Darren escape, well, a pretty dangerous stepfather. The pair are now champions in their own rights. Luke with a Commonwealth bronze medal and an appearance at the Olympics. And Darren with countless titles in bodybuilding and Brazilian jiu-jitsu in his belt. Mind the pun. They now run their own gyms and here offer up some real raw advice for anyone looking to, well, get it done, whatever it may be. We also talk about the impacts OCD has had on Luke's career. And be careful, chances are you're going to feel pretty guilty after these guys offer up their whinge nominations for the week. It's a raw, honest chat from two blokes whose teams I'd much prefer to be on than off. Welcome to this week's edition of I Hate to Whinge, the podcast.
I hate to whinge. You know, one of a good saying that I have is, I don't feel like training, but feelings don't matter. So whatever it is, I'll just get it done, man. If I don't feel like doing something, you know, it doesn't mean you don't do it. You just get it done.
Without sounding creepy, after seeing you in the film, we'll chat about in a second, you've been in my head, and there'll be days when I'm like, I don't feel like it. And I'm like, if you don't get up and run, Rosie, you are going to let, you know, winter get the best of you.
That's right, man.
You're in my head, Luke. You're in my head.
Good. That's good. I mean, look, I guess what the film was about the story that I've got to get where I'm at today, but, you know, also just to show people that, you know, anything is possible. I'm absolutely, you know, no different than you guys sitting in the room. But, you know, I just work hard for what I've got and that's why I'm where I'm at. And, look, I haven't, you know, done anything special to get where I'm at. I've just worked my ass off and that's what the message I'm trying to put out there is, if you want something, you can get it if you work hard.
Yeah, and that can transcend to any career
100%.
Or anything you do.
Exactly.
Now, Darren, with the most spectacular beard I've seen yet on your face, why the beard? What's going on?
The beard because everyone says not to.
You like doing what you're not told to do.
That's basically how I run my life.
Yeah, okay. It's a fun way to run it. Yeah. Why did you choose Luke's story to tell?
Luke and I spent probably the good part of 4 to 5 months together just filming his everyday life and also the fights and the training and everything like that. But look, the reason why I chose Luke is because it wasn't to show off Luke's skills or Luke's boxing. It was more to show the general public exactly what Luke just said, in that he's just a regular guy from Clarendon Vale and he's pushed his body and he's created a passion to become the man he is today.
Now, the both of you are obviously good friends now. Did you guys grow up together? Because you have similar stories. And can we talk about that? Can we talk about your start and your entry to boxing? Because you both found yourselves probably where, you know, you try and deter any kid from ending up. Like,
yeah,
doing drugs and you talked about stealing. Where were you at and how did you find boxing?
Yeah, well, to answer the first question, we didn't know each other. I sort of knew of Darren before he approached me, knew of what he's done with his life and, you know, what he's achieved and had, you know, great amounts of respect for him. And then obviously he approached me and, you know, we just hit it off straight away. I can see a lot of me in him and he can see a lot of me in himself. So we're very similar in everything we do. We're both perfectionists. We're both, you know, anal with a lot of the stuff that we do. Everything has to be perfect and, you know, to get anywhere in life at anything, you got to be a little bit insane. And I can see he is a little bit insane, just like myself. Anyone that spends any longer than a day with me can see that I do some stuff that's not actually probably normal.
Isn't that a Lewis Carroll quote from, is it from Alice in Wonderland, like the best of the people. The best people I know are insane.
I'm not sure, but
100% agree.
But yeah, and you know, obviously, growing up in Clarenvale, you know, with like just a chaotic childhood, you know, that I don't really remember much about, getting, you know, dropped around different places, different welfares, or different places. It wasn't home, and then my mum and dad split up, and then it just sort of got worse from there, and then I got involved in drugs at a young age, and then, you know, stealing and just doing, you know, reckless stuff, and didn't care, and had no direction or no stability, had no, there was no system in place for me to, you know, anything to have control.
There was no plan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There was no direction for me, and I just sort of done what I wanted, and it felt pretty cool at the time, but I mean, it doesn't matter what money you get as a kid or anything, all the kid wants from his mum is to be, you know, hugged and put to bed, and from your dad you just want to kick the football, you know what I mean? So that, as a kid, you know, I've got great parents and I respect them both, I love them both dearly, but they're the things that most kids want that, you know, I didn't have. So I had no, you know, stability, and I was out doing the wrong thing and stealing money off everyone and just to get my fix on drugs, and I never really took any advice off anyone until I started doing boxing. And
where did you find it? Who was it that said, hey, get on in
here? I remember watching shows as a kid like Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris, Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and like just pretending to be them, you know what I mean? Like going out and pretend to fight 20 men out the front. And that's just something that I always liked doing. And then sort of I just heard of a couple of guys that done boxing, Chris Polly, Nathan Polly, and I seen them at an underage nightclub. And was there and just causing, you know, trouble and that. And then I introduced myself to them, and I wanted to do what they done. So I went along to the gym on the Monday, and the rest is history.
Yeah, right. This story isn't unique in the sense that boxing, for me, I've seen many stories where, like, it's helped save people, as cliche as that sounds, but it has. Why is it, from your point of view, that boxing is such a perfect, or even any type of sport,
any sort of martial arts,
why is it
or
so
something
disciplinary? Like, why does it have the ability to like turn things around literally
it sorts out the men from the boys straight away off the bat. And I mean, the ones that don't change their life just drop out. You know, they quit. And the ones that do change their life are the ones that understand that it's serious. And if you want to make it, you can't play around with it. Like, to start with, I was still smoking cigarettes and doing drugs when I had my first two fights, and then I lost my third fight. And then I said to myself, well, you can just stop and, you know, you've had a couple of fights and you can stop, or you can change your life and stop doing the shit you're doing and get out there and have a crack and see what can happen. And, you know, that's what I've done. And, I mean, from the year 2000 when I stopped smoking weed and doing drugs, and, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I wanted the Olympic Games, and, you know, like, obviously after Olympics, and then when, you know, my life sort of fell apart again, I got involved in doing some stupid shit again. And
yeah.
I retired from amateur boxing, and that's when I started getting back into the drugs and doing the wrong thing and just being a menace, not doing anything. And then I decided to turn professional, and that's why I'm where I'm at now, because of boxing. You know,
it's part like just having a goal to work towards. Well, they're like creating the systems around it.
The best way to explain it is it's like having a wife. Like, so a wife that you care about.
Good.
A lot of guys that are out there don't care about their wives, so they still just keep doing what they're doing. And that's whatever, they can do their thing. That's all right. I'm not judging them. But if you have a wife that you care about, you're not going to go to the pub every night and come home late and smoke and eat shitty food all the time. You know, like, you're going to eat what she cooks you, you know, good food. So, like, boxing to me is like my wife, you know what I mean? And, you know, I can't go out and drink all the time. I can't go out and eat shitty food. I got to be in bed early. I got to get up early. Yeah. I got to, you know, so it's a strange way of putting it, but boxing is like your wife, man, and you got to do the right thing, otherwise it won't work.
And when you bring that system into like a otherwise chaotic life, it's that stability you were talking about before.
And like, honestly, without direction, and, you know, hence why after Olympics and my life fell apart again, you know, a bad breakup and then not knowing what to do with the sport and all that sort of shit, that's when I had no direction, and that's when I started going bad again. So I turned professional and things are good, man. Everything's going well. So
yeah, look, to touch on what Luke was saying, and Luke, I think you'll agree, martial arts, boxing, sport in general for young
100%.
For young guys that are coming up hard, it's organising the chaos that is...
Exactly,
yeah, that's, you know, exactly.
And that forces you to do that, and the coach and the students and your friends in amongst the sport. help you to get on the right track. Where, you know, if we continued to hang out with the guys and girls that back in the day.
And, mate, look, honestly, like, every day is not easy for me, you know what I mean? Like, with the stuff that I deal with, but also the addiction, you know, the addictive personality that I've got. Like, I sometimes think, yes, I want to go out and just get off my head. And, like, it seems like such a good idea. And then
Particularly on a Friday.
Then I put the guilt on myself so hard, and I'm so hard on myself, and I get so upset with myself. And it's really bad, man. The state of mind you put yourself in just from having a few beers or a bad meal, like, I get really down on myself, and it's not healthy. Like, I'm still yet to find a balance in anything that I do. So, and look, explaining the chaos situation, like, even now when my life is good, like, the girl I'm seeing now, she could understand, like, oh, everything will be perfect for a few weeks, and then, like, I'm just like, everything's too perfect. Fuck, I'm gonna make something crazy happen, and then I'll just make it crazy and just won't speak to it.
I think that's the other side of it. We love to organise our chaos, but like, we also need that chaos.
I need it. It's like, oh yeah, my life's not right with that chaos and like arguments and yelling.
I feed off stress.
Yeah, like, you know, like it's like, everything's good. Yeah, well, fuck you. I'm gonna fuck it up and get the fuck out of my house and don't speak to me for 2 weeks.
Oh God,
you know what I mean? Like, that's how it is, and I enjoy it sometimes.
The beautiful cycle.
It's chaos. Sick.
The other thing about it, and we kind of picked up in there, is like the wins, they keep you going, right? It's kind of like the hit, you know?
Definitely. There's no, look, you know, like, and I've done a lot of bad things in my life, and, you know, but there's no better feeling than being fit and healthy, man. That's the best drug, and winning, you know, being fit, healthy, and knowing that you can just walk through your opponent or walk through whatever's in front of you, and you know, you're fitter and you're healthy, and that's a great feeling, man.
Yeah, I'm looking at two guys who have countless amounts of trophies and medals and awards. Don't feel bad for me, guys. I don't have a single award, and it makes me sad. No. Apparently, being a diligent student doesn't get you trophies.
But you went to university in that, did you?
I do have a degree, so that's
there you go.
That's
to me,
award,
to me,
I guess.
We wish.
To me, that is amazing, man. Like, I dropped out of school grade 7, so anyone that can stick that out, that shows dedication. And, you know, every uni student out there that's gone through their studies and everyone that's accomplished it, they should be proud of themselves, man, because that is hard. That is hard work, man. So you should be proud of yourself, man.
Thank you. And, it's not shiny, but it is
man,
good.
And look, and at the end of the day, all these medals, all that, you know, it doesn't mean shit if you're not mentally happy.
Yeah.
And if you're mentally happy, and, you know, that's what matters, man.
For both of you, what is the one you're most proud of out of all of them?
The Olympic qualification.
Yeah.
That was for me after missing out on, you know, Beijing. And then it would have been easy to walk away. I put 4 years of my life into trying to make it, and then I had two options, was to quit or try again, and I tried again and I made it 4 years later, against all odds, upper division, through back injury, stress fracture in my back, broken hands, mental issues, and then made it. So that, to me, is a great, you know, my greatest achievement, and owning my own house. You know, a kid from Clarendon dropped out of school in grade 7 to have his own house. So I think that's pretty darn cool.
Impressive. Mm. Now, through the film, we go through the Olympic experience, which the result wasn't exactly what you wanted.
No, it's horrible.
Was that the first time that you actually had watched it back?
Yeah, that was it. And I still haven't watched the whole fight. I watched bits that Darren put in the film.
So if you don't know, it was you went down in the first round, which was unideal. So. Do you look back at that as a success, though?
No, because it was a big...
Because you worked for this for 8 years, and it's like,
look,
your biggest achievement.
And I'll show you something why it's crazy, okay? Because I'm very hard on myself. And on Facebook, it's got the memories. So today, it's funny, today come up 5 years ago today, I was in Russia.
No way.
And I fought a guy named Han Sun Chu. There's a picture of him there, that picture there. So he fought me there, and I beat him comfortably. I beat him very easily in the first fight at the tournament, and I ended up winning a silver medal at that tournament. But I beat him easy. He was no threat to me. And then I went to Olympics. He went to Olympics. He got a good draw. I got a draw where I fought a guy that didn't suit me, and he went on to win an Olympic silver medal and lost to the great Vasyl Lomachenko, which is 2-time Olympic champion, now professional world title holder. So that just goes to show I beat the Olympic silver medalists, and I beat the Olympic bronze medalists. So you know, people say, oh, you should be proud. Oh, no, I knew I could do better, and the results speak for themselves. I mean, the proof's there that I can compete with these guys, and I just didn't on the day, and that's why I'm disappointed in myself, because I beat the Olympic silver medalist and I beat the bronze medalist. So I believe I should have been an Olympic silver medalist.
Don't bog yourself down in what-ifs, though. Is that what you're doing in your head?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying what-ifs, but, like, I'm saying, like, I'm allowed to be disappointed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people say, oh, you shouldn't be disappointed. Well, I'm allowed to be because I know what I could have done, but I didn't do it. But that's all good because I don't live on what-ifs, but I'm disappointed.
The Olympics coming up now, like next month, as it starts?
August.
Think, yeah. Are you going to be watching?
Of course.
Still love it? Do you still have a passion for the Olympics?
I love it. I love it. It's the best feeling in the world. Representing your country at the highest level, the pinnacle of all sports, the Olympic Games. It doesn't get much bigger than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little kid from Clarenville went there and done it, so it's pretty cool. So.
But do you ever think about going on the sidelines, like, as a coach?
Oh, yeah, look, definitely. I got offered a spot at the AOS after I finished as an amateur boxer to go up and start helping them, but I was sick of travelling. I'd travel.
Right now you're focusing on...
Oh, yeah, but, like, even at the time I'd travelled to, you know, 45 different countries and I've been away for so long and...
Living out of a suitcase.
Yeah. And I just wanted to put some time in to just being normal.
Yeah.
But then I found out that normal is going out and getting off your head every weekend. And, you know, look, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's fun, but I don't do it every weekend.
And there's no longevity to it.
And that's what normal was, man. Like, and so I started boxing again, but then I thought, I don't want to just be a coach. I want to fight still. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. But look, in the future, I'm just going to, you know, after boxing's finished, people say, well, I train fighters. And I don't know if I will, because I don't know if I could put up with anyone, because I know what it takes to get there. Anyone that trains with me knows I'm hard, man. Like, I'm fair, but I'm hard, and I just want them to do the best they can. And the way I've got to do the best I can is someone breaking me mentally, physically, into nothing and bringing me back up, building me strong into a strong person that I am now. And that's what I do to all my members. And the weak ones go, the strong stay. And I, you know, I'd rather have 50 strong members than 150 weak ones. And that's just who I am, man. I'm not doing it for the money. I'm not doing it for this and that. I'd rather have, you know, 50 strong soldiers.
Yeah.
And if someone can't, like, you know, like, if I was training a young fighter and he, you know, he didn't show up because of something, mate, just, you get two chances.
Yeah.
You know, you fuck up and you're out. I'm not wasting my time with that shit. So I don't know if I will ever train fighters. I'd love to, but to be honest with you, I don't know if I could find someone to please me.
We'll keep this on tape. We'll come back to it.
I don't care about your talent. I don't care about your talent or anything, but, you know, just show me your effort.
The sad thing effort is everyone's attractive. Capable. They're
effort,
all capable.
Effort is attractive.
100%.
Effort is attractive, like that. Before we push on, Darren, we never got yours. What's been your greatest accolade or achievement?
The final one for me was the biggest, finishing up in bodybuilding, because it was a cap to it, to a very evil part of my life.
Yeah.
You know, really?
I began bodybuilding in 1999 just because I needed to make my body bigger and stronger to be able to protect my family. So the reason I moved to Tasmania in the first place from Darwin is because my stepfather, who was living in Darwin with us, just went to jail for attempted murder.
Wow.
He got out of jail. We left. We came down here and stayed. We actually stayed. We started in Tassie in a place called Jorah House.
Yeah.
Which is a women's shelter.
Okay.
I grew up in Holyoke system, and then we, like, every week we're in there. And then our stepfather found out where we were, and he came to find us. And he came down and tried to run his car into the house and kill us and this sort of thing.
Holy crap.
So I started to do bodybuilding because I couldn't do anything with my asthma, so I started lifting weights. And next thing I know, about halfway through my bodybuilding career, he died in jail. He went back to jail and things like this, and he died in jail, and I found that out on the internet. My name used to be Darren Osherenko.
No?
Yeah.
Is that Ukrainian?
That's Russian. Yeah.
Russian.
Yeah.
Changed it.
Yeah, went back to Petty.
Who's Petty? Is Petty your mum?
No, Petty's my real dad.
This is your stepdad.
Yeah, my stepfather. My real dad's a cockhead, so that's cool. So, yeah.
Hey, Dad.
So he died. All of a sudden, I didn't have a reason for bodybuilding. You know, I had no reason for bodybuilding. And then I did a couple more comps and finished up at Mr. Universe with the fifth place. But I just wanted to go home, and I'd had enough. So I flew back to Australia.
You can see it in him too, like, even, like, in me, like, like, I am sick of making weight. I'm sick of eating the shit that I have to eat to make weight. And I can see
he, or the lack of.
Like, and, like, he, you know, like, had to eat boiled chicken and fucking broccoli, you know, for so many years. And you can see the effect it has, not just physically, mentally more than anything. Like, everything is a cheat meal for him. Like, and, like, he's still not out of it. Like, he says he's trying to, but you can see, like, and you should see me now.
It's
like, I'm 12 kilos over my fight weight. And then, like, tonight I'm going to go to Solo and I'm just going to smash past some pizza like it's my last meal on earth. But you think I should be over it now because I've been doing it for 13 years. But
Luke, you're gone, mate. I've been out of bodybuilding for 10 years.
I know.
Right? Listen, every time I go to a restaurant, I feel like I just finished the competition.
I know. It's like, yes.
And everyone around us is
I'm
like,
getting the pasta.
Oh, I'm full. We're like, fuck up, Cam.
Yeah, I know.
Eat and love it.
Yeah, I know.
I will smash you.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
It is crazy. So,
it is. And it's eating disorders that like, come out of this sort of thing.
Man, I am constantly hungry. Like, I eat and then I'm hungry. Like, I cannot, like, I'm probably full, like, full. And when I say full, I mean, like, laying in bed holding your guts because you're going to spew.
Yeah, no,
full.
I felt that when I was in
like
Bali
probably three
last,
times
and I
a year.
Walk.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh yeah.
The rest of the time I'm hungry. Like now I'm starving. We went to.
Are you currently on a strict diet? And
nah, but I'm always switched on with it. You know what I mean? Like I'm always on edge. Like even
what's
tonight.
What's your meal? What's your meal right after it?
Well,
after
I love pizza and pasta from Solo Pizza and Pasta. Simon, Robicelli, and Cine Dimitri, you boys, and also the burgers at the Winston. Go up there and ask for a Jacko special burger, the double. Double cheese.
Is it named
double
after
beef.
You?
Nah, but I've got a meal at the Solo Pasta named after me. It's called El Pugile. It means boxer in Italian. Ask for it. It's the best.
Steering things back a little and on a more serious note, you open up quite honestly.
Yeah.
And in a whole lot of detail about living with OCD.
Yeah, yeah.
It's becoming easier to chat about and making people understand because I feel like.
Yeah.
Because even for me watching, it was kind of. Nice, I guess, to hear from someone like you to someone like me who suffered from anxiety. And yep. When you talked about the breathing, I was like, oh, my God, there's someone who knows exactly
yeah, 100%.
How hard it is sometimes to breathe. And so firstly, has it been hard to try and make people understand? And then secondly, is it getting easier?
Can I just butt in on that real quick, Luke? Through the film, I noticed, and just getting to know Luke, so many people out there came out with similar tendencies to what Luke had. It was amazing, actually, how many people came out and said, look, I have a particular one of those. You know, Luke's got the whole gamut. He suffers from it quite significantly and it stops his life in a major way. And for Luke to do what he does is quite amazing to get through what he does mm-hmm. on a daily basis. But so many people, like you said, have these.
That's awesome, then. Like people are. Finding like it's a refuge. Like, well, if you can talk about it, then I can talk.
Work as a platform, 100%.
Yeah,
definitely. Like, and like you said, is it about? And like, it's never been about me trying to make other people understand me. It's been about me trying to understand me. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds crazy. Because like,
no, it sounds like
before I come out about it, it's like I just had to release something because I was going to explode. And like I see a specialist now, OCD specialist, every fortnight, and like it's crazy, man. Like, I'd need a long time to be able to sit here and explain all the crap that she's taught me
mm-hmm.
about the disease, you know. And it is a disease, man. It's crazy. It
you don't choose it. It's like it's either
it's,
there
it's
or it's
so
not.
So much more about OCD than people think. Like people think, like if I said OCD, people think, oh. He washes his hands a lot. He's clean and tidy, but it's nothing like that. It's like it takes over your whole life. It can be about the way you think about things. Like, you know, I had a lot of bad, you know, negative thoughts for a long time about like just like about suicide and shit like that. But I wasn't sad, but it was just a mental attitude that I had.
Mm-hmm.
It changes your thought process. So like I had
and you're conscious of it. You just can't
I was
control
like,
it.
Like, I was like laying in bed. I'm going, what the fuck are you thinking about tying a noose around your manhole and jumping out of the manhole for? Because you're actually happy, brother. Like, why are you even thinking that? That's stupid. And I never think I would do it. And I never thought I would do it. But it was constantly on my mind, and it was driving me insane. I'm like, how do I tell someone that this is what I'm thinking about? Because honestly, if you tell them, like, they're gonna go, oh, he's suicidal. But I wasn't suicidal. But I was thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And like, and then the lady, Lisa, her name is, she's my psychologist. And she was just telling me, like, the way your thought process goes. So, like, you know, when I was younger, it used to be about numbers, seeing about different numbers, and then it was about touching things, and then it was about negative thoughts. So yeah. I went to thinking about negative thoughts, and negative thoughts can be someone cheating on you, your partner cheating on you. So I thought about that a lot, like, you know, my girlfriend sleeping with another man, like, and it's stupid. Like, but then it went to suicide.
I guess the important thing is, like, you know, you're recognising this and you're in this position where you can, like, now talk to other men.
Exactly.
Mental health.
Yeah.
Just recognising it and then going to find someone who
can, man. Like, she said, look, it's okay, you know, like, to think of it, but you got to stop it. And, like, she's giving me exercises to stop it. And to stop the main thing, the breathing that's giving me problems and the negative thoughts, I've got to stop it at the roots. And that's... little things like with the toilet paper. I can't have the toilet, like, I used to have the toilet paper.
Yeah, no, this is in the video, and I was going to say, I like that you managed to laugh it off as well, because you do have a really clean house. Yeah. And you make a great husband.
Yeah. Like, so I'm just trying to break little habits like that.
I've never invited Luke to my house.
Yeah. It honestly, people that don't understand it could not even ever imagine to understand the shit that people do.
Yeah.
Like, I wake up every morning, I'm just constantly going, all right, how many hours did I sleep? Did I get this amount of sleep? When I'm running, okay, you've run 1K. If you run 5 more Ks, that's 6. If you run 3 more, that's 8. Like, and you just make numbers in your head. And when you're skipping, like, it's like, I've got to skip for 10. I've got to shadow box 4 rounds. And like people see me training. Like, I asked Steve to help me out yesterday. And, like, yeah. I said, grab the trainer pads. And I said, quick, go to the trainer pads. And she fucked around. And then, like, the round went. And she was 2 minutes 50, the round, to 3 minutes. And she came over the trainer pads. And I said, You can't fuck the system up. The trainer has a system and you just fucked it up. So now I've got to do 3 more rounds. I've got to do another round in the bag before I can get on the pads. Because it's everything has a way, and that's why I'm where I'm at, because I've gone insane.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say, because I feel like there's, like, something in that. You don't want to have to live with this debilitating mental health disorder, but you've somehow turned it around and used it for your own benefit. And you said that if it wasn't for... way you think, you wouldn't perhaps have seen as such great success as you have.
If it wasn't for OCD, I wouldn't be where I'm at.
Well, you're turning a negative into a positive. Yeah, how would you like to tell someone else to follow that?
If I could touch
lead.
On that really quickly, Luke, yeah. I think it's important, and this came up in the documentary. I think one of the messages Luke was trying to get across is that you can't help anyone else until you've helped yourself.
Yeah.
And what Luke's doing at the moment, he's not putting this to the side. He's not... denying it. He's coming out 100% and said, look, I'm suffering from OCD and his particular OCD that he's got. But in order for Luke to fully start to help others in their journey, and at the moment it's through social media.
Yeah.
A lot of people follow Luke.
It's heaps. Like, your pages are just
they follow
inundated.
Luke and they really love to touch base with Luke on their issues as well. But I think Luke's message in the doco part way through was when a young fella came in and said that he wanted to help this person and this family member and that and go out and help people. And Luke, you know, was quite right in saying, you have to help yourself before you help others. And Luke's really being courageous in that, taking that on for himself, because it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. How on earth am I going to be a good husband or a good father or a good trainer or even a good boxer or a good friend or a good son if I am not mentally in the right headspace? You know what I mean? Like, I could just get by, but I need to be in a great headspace to be able to be the best father I can be and the best husband I can be and the best friend I can be. So, you know, I need to first and foremost put myself first, self-preservation, and make sure that Luke's okay. And if I'm okay, then I guarantee you everyone around me will be happy, because I'll make sure of it. If I've got $10, I'll give you 5 of it. I promise you that. So my thing is looking after me and making sure I'm good. And then I'm going to make everything happen, and I'm going to look after all my team, my family, my friends. Everyone's going to get looked after because I'm doing well. You know what I mean? So you have to put yourself first. Have to, 100%. I put myself before anyone.
That's right. And I think the other thing
people
is
think
that
you're selfish by doing it, but no.
No, you're not.
I'll put
no
myself
one else
first.
Is going to do
put,
it.
How that's would right. I? Yeah. How would I ever do anything if I was... Can't understand.
It's really important too that Luke to mention that Luke's got a really tight inner circle of people in his life, and that's not necessarily his family. It's
no way. Like, I've got a lot of associates and a lot of people I know, but I've got a small circle that stick by me. And one thing that I have learned over the years, or from a very young age, is that, you know, I learned to be able to adapt to any situation very quickly, and I learnt that family doesn't mean that they have the same last name or the same blood or anything like that. It's people that want to look after you, you know what I mean? And I have a small circle that have got my back, and I've got their back, you know, through thick and thin, and, you know, it's a good feeling.
And they're the guys who wear the action Jackson when the time's needed, and they're right there by your side.
You know, when it's all said and done, you know, you can't box forever and you can't do anything forever, but, you know, if you're a good person, you can do that forever, can't you?
Yeah. Now, you both have your own gyms now.
Yep.
And that's
both AFC, baby.
Yeah.
Arena Fitness Centre won best gym in Hobart for the second year running. How is
there
that?
A healthy competition going on there?
Nah,
I saw you both on social media.
Not
there.
At all. Hey, we're both trying to get it out there. But yeah. If anyone else is going to win it, I'm glad he did, man.
You know what I said yesterday? You know, when I had all the members lined up voting, yeah. We force our members to vote. legit.
You strongly encourage.
Do as you're told.
No, Rosie, we force
I'm in PR.
Our members to... to vote. And look, some of the guys said, what if we lose? And I turned around and said, there's no fucking way that's happening. But if we do lose, if we lose to Action, I'll go right out there and I'll film it and I'll shake the man's hand and we're done. Right. And I'll be happy as. If anyone else wins, I'll that gym down. I want you to edit a little bit. I want you to just And look, I think, just correct me if I'm wrong, Luke, but I think we're the only two gyms in Tassie that actually combine and work together and cut all this fucking bullshit
People
out.
Say to me, if people live out here and they go, I want to do, you know, BJJ. Go to Kingston. The best to learn off is this, mate.
Well, here's the thing. So you've both been in fitness for, more than 10 years each?
Combined probably, 40 years.
Do you think fitness is in fashion right now?
Fitness is in fashion. Everything's in fashion. Fucking Pokemon's in fashion. Everything's in fashion, Rosie. And fitness is in fashion in a big way, and it's big business.
Hmm.
You know, it's big with CrossFit. Bleep that out for me. You know, CrossFit's big, but the thing is, it's positive. How can it not be?
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It just seems to be everywhere.
Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon, but are they really? Are these people really fit or not? You know,
we're just really good at taking selfies.
To be honest, I think Luke and I both agree on this. Being fit's great, but can you protect yourself?
I like to say, what would you do if someone broke into your house and tried to take your kids? That's my saying.
And you know what? We went to dinner one night, and Luke and I were sitting there watching this fella on his phone, and we said, if he dropped his phone, I don't think he could pick it up.
It'd take him half hour to pick it up.
And then next minute.
But he looked beefy.
Then next minute, he dropped his phone, and Luke hit me with a left hook.
Mike, are you serious?
And said, look at that. And he couldn't do it.
The poor bloke.
Yeah, well.
He's on the ground.
Hey.
You know what I mean? Like, if it takes you a minute to do 5 burpees, you need to fucking change your life.
You need to do more burpees.
100%.
You need to stop eating shit, and you need to get your ass into gear and get into the gym.
As two elite athletes, unhealthy people would make you pretty...
Doesn't worry me.
Not at all, because my dad's very unhealthy. He doesn't train and he does this and he does that.
And you don't have any... He doesn't look at you and go, I should make some changes.
He laughs at me. He wants me to stop. But everyone has that choice to be addicted to drugs, exercise, addicted to eating, addicted to whatever. Everyone's got that mindset to change it if you want to change it. You got to get in the gym and you got to train if you want to get fit. If you want to stop doing drugs, you got to stop doing them. If you want to, lose weight or stop eating shit, pretty simple. It's black and white, guys. Yeah. You know, and if people just stop with all the shit.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things I took out of that doco the most. You said... People think it's some secret, but it's not.
It's no secret, man. It's just hard work and fucking do the basics. You know, the food we've been eating for many, 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 many years, you know, like
hasn't
back
changed.
In the days.
It hasn't changed.
Just eat that. Just eat good food that the earth makes and animals make and eat that and stay away from the dim sims.
What is it that people come in into your gyms? Yeah. What do they want? They want to lose weight, get fit, have big asses thanks to Kim K's inspiration.
It's
in the
all
world.
Different. Like, a lot of people just want to belong to a group. You know, a lot 100%. Of people just want to have a family.
A lot of people, and this is what I mean, not everyone can go to Olympics. Not everyone can be, Mr. Universe. Not everyone can do this. Not everyone can go to university like myself. I can't go to uni, but I can do other things. And a lot of other people want it, but they can't do it. So at my gym and other gyms and other places like CrossFit and that, they feel like they're part of a community, and they are, and that's what they want. They need direction in life, and they've been looking all their life, and maybe finally this is what's helped them, and that's amazing. For me, the gym is like a little family, and
That pat you on the back when you deserve it.
Yeah, I've had people that come and train with me, and before they got there, they've had issues, and their kids have been, suicidal, and their life's upside down, and They've had marriage breakups and all sorts of shit, man. And they've turned themselves around and they've done it themselves. And people say, oh, they've lost this amount of weight. Well done, Luke. No, look, I've got 100 people. I'm going to train them all the same. It's about who takes that opportunity to really listen and do the job. So it's nothing to do with me. I'm telling 100 people to do the same thing.
And you keep telling them that. And it's just
a select few. And trust me, it is a select few that grab it by the horns and do it and lose the weight and change their life. All I'm saying is just, you know, just try, you know, just give me some effort and I'm happy. If I see you give your best, I'm happy. Don't be lazy.
Luke's an elite athlete for a reason and is one of him for a reason. If there was, you know, 40,000 of Luke walking around Tasmania, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Fuck. If there was 40 fucking thousand of me walking around, mate, this place would be
burned to the ground, mate. But I think even small changes, like you don't have to eat every 2 hours for 10 years like I did to be a bodybuilder.
Oh, I could never.
You don't have to do what Luke does and train, you know, 5 a.m. all the way through to late at night and 7 days a week for a period of time in a training camp. You don't have to do that. Just do little things to improve your goddamn life, you know. And the first thing you can do is shut your mouth.
What?
Yeah, you know, just shut it.
Like don't eat, don't talk, just train.
Okay, all right.
You know, just stop putting shit in there.
You know, it's quite simple.
If you had to whinge about one thing, what would it be?
I have 3 kids and they're all on school holidays.
But you love them, right?
Love them more at school.
When a girly rom-com makes you a blubbering mess in the movies.
Oh, my wine glass is never full enough. Emptying too quickly.
When you, like, forget your deodorant. So I went to the boyfriend's deodorant. He only has roll-on. It was gross. I'm wearing boy's deodorant.
You're wearing not only boy's deodorant.
I know.
Roll-on.
I know.
Oh! That is worth whinging about.
I smell like Old Spice.
So this is the opportunity for you to like just whinge about one thing this week.
Because
I don't like whinging, but sometimes I feel like sometimes you're not whinging, you're just highlighting a problem, and by highlighting it, we get to move forward in a solution. How's that for PR?
I agree. I don't like to whinge, Rosie, but look.
Who's your whinge of the week?
My whinge of the week is nothing comes easy. Look, a lot of people want what Luke's got and what I've got in trophies and accolades and all the rest of it. But look, it takes very, very a lot of hard work and it takes hustle and grind. And I wish a lot more people would stop fucking watching Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
And
why?
Train.
Are you specifically against the show or are you just highlighting the fact they sit on the couch doing nothing?
Or Game of Thrones Lost. Stop watching bullshit Lost. TV.
You haven't watched TV in a while if you're quoting Lost.
And get something done and do right. Something about it.
Instead of binge watching TV.
Start a business.
Binge.
Get
gym.
Fit. All right. Change the world. Change your underpants.
Please. Mm-hmm. As a very basic minimum. All right, your turn.
Okay, so I'm.
There's a list.
Yeah, there's a long list. So, look, this is one that I'm very, and it's not really a whinge. It's probably a whinge, but a bit of a advice, and I just can't understand it. Is people that wake up day in day out and go to a job and do a job that they hate, and they whinge about it, and they go, oh, you know, I hate my job. Well, you know what? Fucking quit that shit and get the fuck out of it and go do something you like. You think you know, I had to take a risk to get to where I'm at, and many people do. And I remember when I first started working for my father doing asbestos removal and roofing, and I knew straight away this was not for me. I fucking hated it. But you know what? I had to do it for a little bit, and then I'm like, nah, I'm not doing this shit for the rest of my life. So I stopped. And you know what? I wasn't making money. I wasn't doing nothing. I was just being a bum, and I wasn't getting anywhere, but then I'd made it happen. And the reason I've got my own gym and the reason I'm making good money now from my gym is because I dedicated myself to the sport of boxing for 15 years, and now it's just played out.
True what they say, like you do what you love and you won't.
And it'll just happen, that's
life.
Right. Yeah. And you know what, if you're really, really, really good at something, doesn't matter what it may be, eventually someone wants to pay you money to show them how to do it. That's my whinge of the week.
True is happy. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. My whinge, I just don't, I just wanted to whinge about Pokemon Go.
I don't even understand it. So
how's this, though? This
some
is my
fucker
whinge.
Ran his car into a tree the other day. He was playing in his car.
There is a legit police report that came out on Thursday. It was like a media release. And the cops were like, don't Pokemon Go and drive. And I was like, why did you need to tell grown adults that you shouldn't be playing Pokemon while driving your car? And I was like, okay, these people are crazy. Yeah,
they've got nothing better to do, right?
They're crazy, man.
It's great that on the upside, you know, it's getting kids off the couch from their PlayStations. They're still running around the streets.
They're still locked to their phone.
This is true.
That's the way the world's going.
Thank you so much. We could talk for ages.
Yeah,
and
we could.
Your brain has so much more in it, the both of you. But
We should come back and do an unrated one.
You should come. If you really want to know what's on my mind, come and have a chat with me when I'm on a bender. And I will talk so much shit for days, mate. I've got stories backed up. Stories. And I don't know what one to tell first.
There is heaps in the video to find it. Quick plug.
Darren Petty Films, YouTube, and check it out.
On Instagram, Luke Jackson on Twitter. Luke C. Jackson on Snapchat. Luke Action Jackson on Facebook. Get around it, guys.
Check us out.
Thank you.
Get a picture.
I kid you not, at this point of the interview, they both jumped out of their seats to get moving. I mean, it was a long time for two guys with that much energy. Luke started air punching the air and Darren had to get a few more angles for his video. He filmed this whole thing. You can watch it, but go find the doco. It is really beautiful. Congrats to the both of them. To Luke for opening up so honestly and to Darren for capturing the story so beautifully. Thanks to them both for sitting down with me this week. And thank you for finding this, downloading it, and listening. Please leave a really nice review if you can on iTunes. I mean, one does great things to my ego and gives me one less thing to whinge about, but it means more people get to see just how important a little whinge can be. It's better when you get it off your chest, right? We'll do it again real soon. In the meantime, I've been Rosie Pinetta. Big love. Ciao.